All right, everybody, get ready, because today we're diving into a topic you might not know much about, but you definitely should. Diverticula.
Yeah, these little pouches that can form in your colon. They might sound kind of strange, but believe me, they're more common than you think, and they can cause some real issues for some people.
That's right. We're going to be talking all about diverticulosis, diverticular disease, and of course, the one everyone dreads. Diverticulitis.
We're going to break it all down for you, make it super clear and easy to understand.
Exactly. So what exactly are diverticula?
Well, you can picture it like this. Imagine your colon not as this smooth pipe, but kind of like an old sock, you know, with those little pockets pushing out. Those are your diverticula.
Okay, definitely not the image I want in my head right now.
Yeah.
But seriously, why should we care about these things? They don't sound like that big of a deal.
Well, the thing is, most of the time, they aren't. That's what we call diverticulosis. Those pouches are just hanging out, not bothering anyone.
So most people don't even know they have them.
Exactly. And get this, almost half the people over 60, at least in Western countries, they've got them and don't even realize it.
Wow. Half of people over 60. That's a lot. Yeah. Why is that so common, especially here?
You know, a lot of it comes down to our diets. We don't eat enough fiber, and that makes things, well, let's just say things get a little backed up.
Makes sense. Oh. So without enough fiber, it's like everything gets sluggish down there.
Exactly. And all that extra pressure has to go somewhere, right? That's when those little diverticulas start popping out, like trying to inflate a tire that's already full. Something's got to give.
So is that why it's so much more common here? Because of our diets?
It's a big factor, for sure. In other parts of the world, places like Asia and Africa, where people eat way more fiber naturally, diverticulosis is much less common.
So that's a pretty good argument for adding more fiber to our plates, right?
Absolutely. But it's not just about Asian diet. There are other things that can up your risk, too.
Oh, really? Like what? Really? Like what?
Right. Well, you've got things like obesity, not getting enough exercise, smoking. You know, all the usual suspects when it comes to health problems.
Right, right.
But here's one you might not expect. Taking NSAIDs, those common pain relievers, that can actually increase your risk too.
Really? I had no idea about NSAIDs. It's kind of crazy how interconnected everything is in our bodies. Something you do for pain could end up affecting your gut.
Yeah, it's all connected.
So let's get back to those diverticula for a sec. How do they go from being these harmless little pouches to actually causing problems?
Okay, so remember how we talked about pressure building up in the colon? Well, imagine that pressure just becomes constant, like chronic strain on those little pockets. Over time, that can really mess with the colon's natural rhythm, what we call its motility.
Motility, right. Hmm. Isn't that how things move through your system?
Yeah, exactly. And when your motility is off, it's like a traffic jam in your gut. Everything slows down, the pressure builds even more, and that's when those diverticula become vulnerable. You know, they can get inflamed, even infected.
And that's the difference between diverticulosis, those silent pouches, and diverticular disease when they actually start causing problems.
Exactly. And if those diverticula get really inflamed or infected, that's when you get diverticulitis, and that's when things can get kind of serious.
That's the setting your dishes on fire scenario we talked about.
That's the one. We're talking intense pain, usually on the lower left side, fever, nausea, maybe even vomiting. It's not pretty.
Yikes. Definitely sounds like something you don't want to mess with. So I guess the big question is, are there any warning signs to look out for? Can your gut actually tell you that something's off?
You know, sometimes it can. Remember, with diverticulosis, a lot of times there are no symptoms. But as it progresses to diverticular disease, you might start noticing some things, like some pain in your abdomen, especially on that lower left side.
So that's the first clue.
It can be. People describe it as this cramping, achy feeling that comes and goes. You might also feel bloated, gassy, maybe your bowel habits change a bit, constipation, diarrhea, or, you know, a fun combination of both.
Ugh, not fun at all. So yeah. I guess paying attention to those little changes is key, huh?
Absolutely. And if those little changes turn into a 5-alarm fire, you know it's time to get help. Like, if you're having fever, nausea, those intense pains we talked about, those are red flags. You don't want to ignore those.
So let's say someone is having those red flags. What happens next? How is diverticular disease actually diagnosed?
Well, first things first, you got to talk to your doctor. They're going to want to know all about your symptoms, your medical history, you know, any risk factors you might have.
Makes sense.
Then they'll probably want to do a physical exam, feel your abdomen for any tenderness or anything unusual.
Okay, so far so good.
They might also order some blood tests to check for signs of infection or inflammation that can help confirm a diagnosis, especially for diverticulitis.
So it's like piecing together a puzzle, right?
Yeah.
Symptoms, medical history, the physical exam, blood work.
Yeah, exactly.
But the real MVP, especially for those acute cases of diverticulitis, is imaging, right?
You got it. A CT scan is usually the best way to get a clear picture of what's going on in there.
It's crazy how technology like that lets us see what's happening inside our bodies. But before we get to treatment, I'm curious about something. You mentioned earlier that genetics and just age-related changes can play a role too. It's not just about our modern diets then, is it?
Yeah, you're right. It's not just about diet. It really is a combination of things. Think of it this way. Your genes, they kind of lay the groundwork, right?
Yeah.
And then the way you live your life, that's like painting the picture on top of it.
Okay, I like that analogy.
So some people, they might just be more prone to having weaker connective tissue in their colon just because of their genes. And that makes them more likely to develop diverticula, especially as they get older.
Interesting. So even if you're doing everything right, you could still be at higher risk.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean you should just give up, right?
Yeah.
The more you know about your own risk factors, the better prepared you are. Okay, so you asked about treatment. Where were we?
We were about to dive into treatment options. So we've gone to the doctor, we have our diagnosis. What happens next?
Well, it really depends, you know? It depends on how bad it is. Like a lot of people with diverticulosis, they don't even need any treatment. If it's not causing any problems, no need to fix what ain't broke, right?
Right. Just keep doing what you're doing, especially if that involves a healthy diet.
Exactly. But for those who are having symptoms, that's when we start talking about making some changes. And yeah, a lot of it comes back to fiber.
Fiber to the rescue once again.
It's true. Getting enough fiber, staying hydrated, making sure you're getting some exercise, those are all super important for keeping things moving down there and preventing those little pouches from getting angry.
So being proactive with our gut health is key. Makes sense. But what about those more serious cases, like when it progresses to diverticulitis? That sounds a little scarier.
Yeah, diverticulitis, that's when you've got inflammation, maybe even an infection. So we got to step things up a bit. Usually we start with antibiotics to fight off any infection and give your gut a break with a clear liquid diet for a few days.
Ah, so like a reset button for your gut.
Exactly. Give it a chance to calm down. But if things don't improve, or if there are complications, then we might have to consider other options.
Like what?
Sometimes it means going to the hospital, maybe for IV antibiotics or fluids, and in some really rare cases, surgery might be necessary. But honestly, most people do really well with the less invasive treatments. They're able to manage their diverticular disease and avoid surgery altogether.
Well, that is good news. It sounds like the earlier you catch it and start taking care of it, the better.
Absolutely. And it's amazing how much of a difference those lifestyle changes can make. You know, we were talking about fiber, but things like managing stress and getting enough sleep, those are important too.
So it's really about taking care of your overall health, not just your gut.
Exactly. It's all connected.
This has been incredibly informative, but before we wrap up, I have to ask, what about all those things people say you should avoid if you have diverticulitis, like nuts, seeds, popcorn? Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, you know, that's a really common question. For years, people were told to avoid those foods because they thought those tiny particles would get stuck in the diverticula and make things worse.
Right. My grandma always refused to eat popcorn because of that.
Well, it turns out those recommendations might be a little outdated. Newer research suggests that there's not actually strong evidence to back that up. In fact, some studies even suggest that nuts and seeds might actually be good for your gut.
Wow, really? Pass the popcorn then.
Well, hold on. Everyone is different, and it's always smart to listen to your own body and talk to your doctor about what's right for you. But it does seem like those old wives' tales might need a modern update.
That's a good point. It's a good reminder that medical advice can change as we learn more.
Exactly. What we thought we knew 5, 10 years ago might be totally different now.
So important. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for today. If our listeners could take away just one thing from this deep dive, what would you want it to be?
I would say remember that even though diverticular disease is common, it's often preventable and manageable. By understanding your risk factors, making healthy choices, and just being in tune with your body, you can live a long and healthy life, even with those little pouches.
That's a great takeaway. Big thanks to our expert for joining us today and sharing your incredible knowledge. And to all our listeners out there, until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and take care of yourselves.